Well, the reason why I ask, and I think it's very important, is because one of the reasons why we always, in every discussion about headship, we have to say, well, it's not a matter of equality, and it's not one is superior to another, one can order the other person around. We always have to keep saying these things because I think a lot of us, including me, don't understand this matter of how the authority is expressed very well, because if I don't know what kind of authority there is in headship, then I'm going to display the wrong kind of authority towards my wife, let's say. I'm not to be lord of my wife, but I'm to be head. So that means I have some kind of authority. But I don't want to display the wrong kind of authority, because then I'd be a bad husband and I wouldn't be displaying Christ. But just as you were speaking and you mentioned Ephesians, the thought I had when we were looking at it is Ephesians 4, verse 16. Well, ends, the end of verse 15, who is the head, the Christ, from whom the whole body fitted together and connected by every joint of supply, according to the working in its measure of each one part, works for itself, the increase of the body to itself, building up in love. Reading from Darby's translation. But just what struck me is how Lord, and the verse Brother Leonard mentioned a couple times already, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I say? Lord is, I say something and you do it. That's the Lord. You know, the Lord says, do this, you do it. You don't ask questions, you don't look, well, show me by example, or you don't, he says it, you do it, period. And I see that for, you know, the individual, and also when the day will come when he will be Lord of all, and everyone will have to do what he says. But as a head, it seems like, you know, there's authority, but it's not, do it because I say so. It's, well, what I see is a little bit of direct involvement of the head with the body that's being controlled. So the body is going in a direction, but so is the head. The head is going with the body, not commanding the body to go, and the head remaining in particular place, if that kind of makes any sense.
Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. Mm-hmm. If there's love, then there should be guidance and cherishing and nourishing, which would not manifest itself in lording. In 1 Peter, speaking to elders where they may manifest themselves, he says, neither being as lords over God's heritage, but being examples. And one thing that, we're off the subject, but one thing, because we want to cover the passage, that's not a slight, but this is okay. One thing that we need to learn as husbands is this very same thing that we have in 1 Peter chapter 5, not being lords over God's heritage by application, but being examples. It's not so much that I boss my wife around, but I show her by my example how we ought to do what we're doing. So there's a difference there. One is commanding, one is showing. And that is true in all good leadership.
Could I make a comment? I'm not sure. I hope it's on track. And it goes back to, I think you might have mentioned this morning, I think the Lord uses in Scripture analogies that we can relate to, and I think we should go back to the original thought. What is my head? What does my head do in my body? My head houses my brain. That's what it does. In addition to that, my head houses senses that detects what's going on around me. Our eyes, our ears, our taste buds, and I don't know how many other senses, but these are the senses that our head has. So that information that our head picks up goes into your brain. Then the brain integrates that information and then gives direction to the remainder of the body based upon the information that is received from all these senses. So I think that's where we start from. So therefore, if we are a head, and he's our head, therefore he has information coming into him, and he obviously integrates that information and gives direction to the body based upon all the information that he has. I hope that helps in terms of that's how the head actually works. Mm-hmm. It picks up information, integrates it. It doesn't just take it one bit by itself. It puts it all together with everything else that we've got, and then gives a response or direction based upon that information.
Well, that again helps in the sense that it is not a matter of commandeering.
Right.
And we made that very clear. And honestly, we have a tendency, like, sometimes we say to our children, you do it because I tell you to do. And sometimes it may be proper. But you cannot say that to your wife. See, that there's the difference.
The exercise now, brethren, is that we look at these things in a practical sense. We've spent most of the day in doctrine, and there are a lot of questions that come out in terms of the outworking of these doctrines. And so in chapter 11, as we consider this wonderful, wonderful expression of love, the Lord's Supper, breaking bread, how do we come? In what manner? The apostle says, do all things decently and in order. And so here he orders things for us. He starts by giving again the doctrine, the head of every man. Is Christ. The head of the woman is the man, the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. So we begin now with the idea, it's been covered, but we can look at it in a discussion sense, the idea of a head covering or no head covering for a man. Why no head covering for a man is my question. I have an answer, but I have a question, so we'll begin the discussion. Why is it that men do not have a head covering when they pray and prophesy?
Verse 4 says that every man praying or prophesying having his head covered dishonors his head. So if a man covers his head, he's dishonoring his head.
And what is his head?
The Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
And he dishonors his own head, too. Mm-hmm. The two go together. Mm-hmm.
Now, why is it that he's dishonoring his head? Yes, that's close. And the reason I say that is this. Further down the chapter, we find that the woman is the image, the glory. Verse 7. A man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God. So that's answering your question. He's made in the image of God, yes. He's the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of the man. So in this particular portion, the woman is really representing man. I like to think about this as a stage. And God now has characters or actors on the stage. And the woman is representing mankind. And whatever is connected with mankind must be covered. Must be put out of sight. Whether it's man's glory, man's wisdom, man's pomp, man's power, everything that pertains to mankind must be covered. And that is a very important principle here as to why head coverings are important. Because the woman represents mankind in this particular portion. And everything that has to do with man must be put out of sight. That's one important truth.
Just a covering, but it's evidence of subjection.